Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we have a very special show for you this week as we are at Servite High School on location, and we're talking with the principal of Servite High School, Michael Brendan, but he is also the president of the Trinity League. And I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation because the Trinity League has gotten to the point now where not only with the state of California, but nationwide, there's a high profile. So we're going to go over some of these things. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes and joining us.
You're very welcome.
Let's talk about your role within the Trinity, and then I want to talk about your role within Servite as well and kind of what's gone on around here. But I was a little surprised. I think maybe some other people were surprised that there was a kind of an official governing body maybe within the Trinity League. Explain to us kind of how the hierarchy works and how you kind of rose to the top of this hierarchy.
Well, I don't know if I really rose to the top so much as collegially the schools agreed that they thought that I could do the job in order to not just represent the Trinity League, but to help everyone work collegially and to work together in what's, you know, the best interest of all the kids at all the schools. And I feel like I'm very blessed to have this position. It's not as big of a deal, I think, as what people make it out to be, because really what we are is we're just seven schools that get together. Sometimes people forget Rosary High School, but Rosary mm-hmm. is part of the Trinity League, as well as Santa Margarita, J. Sarah, Mater Dei, Orange Lutheran, St. John Bosco, and, of course, my favorite, Servite High School. many people think, oh, you're the Servite Prince one. You know, you're the president of the Trinity League, so therefore, does Servite get everything? No, they don't, because as president of the Trinity League, I have to kind of check that at the door. And Mr. Clinton is our voting member because he's our athletic director, and the secretary of the league is the associate athletic director from Servite. So he and I, we don't really get involved in trying to push any agenda one way or another. Our job is really just to make sure that all the schools are doing the best they can to follow the Trinity League bylaws and the constitution of the Trinity League, make sure that everything's obeyed. And basically, we just run the meetings.
At what point was it maybe decided that there needed to be, you know, within that, how long has this body been together and meeting and kind of talking about things within a Trinity League setup?
You know, as far as I know, all the schools have been getting together for a long period of time mm-hmm. when they were all Angelus League schools.
Right, going
I'm
back.
Sure that they had an Angelus League president and all the schools were there. And as you know, all the schools are voting members. So the principals are the voting members. We show up with the athletic directors to these meetings. However, what we do is we have an athletic director meeting before every Trinity League meeting because we really value and support our athletic directors because they're in the trenches every day. They're doing the hard work. And so when we come to our meetings as principals, we basically look at our athletic directors and say, hey, did you guys talk about this? Yeah. Are you guys all in agreeance? Yeah. Were there any problems? No. All right, let's vote on it. And then the principals vote. So we really rely heavily on the advice of our athletic directors and our athletic directors working collegially together as well. But this kind of process has probably been going on since the very beginning of the Trinity League. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it has. They developed a constitution because, as you know, they went from Angelus League.
Right.
Then they, I think they went into a public school league, a few of the schools.
Correct.
And then it came back to the Trinity League. So since the beginning of the Trinity League, they're going to design bylaws and the Trinity League constitution to follow that has a president, has a secretary, has a league representative. Our league representative is Monty McDermott, who's the athletic director at St. John Bosco. Awesome. So he represents all of us at CIF events. We have a really nice secretary who works at Orange Lutheran named Linda Burnett. So we kind of lead the meetings and provide the information. But this has been going on, and all leagues do this. This isn't, you know, Empire League, Orange League, Golden West League. All leagues are kind of set up like this, but every league probably has a different constitution that they follow.
I think it's interesting to a lot of people because of the profile now of the Trinity League, mm-hmm. right? And it's a league that, as it formed and got together and just athletics-wise, quickly, yeah. this league has just risen to not only you know, big time in the state, but nationwide, yeah. worldwide. I mean, worldwide acclaim now for the things that have happened in this league. Any surprise on the end of the people involved in it that the profile has gotten to this point?
You know, I would say yes or no. I think the people that are involved in organizing it, I don't really think we think about how we're going to promote the Trinity League to this, you know, statewide level, this national level, or anything beyond that. All we're really trying to do is just provide kids with a really great opportunity to not only get better at their athletics, but to get better at their academics, to get better at their personal formation, to deepen their faith. We're all Catholic schools, and we have Orange Lutheran, which is a Lutheran school, but we're all dedicated towards moving kids towards Christ. And how do they use Christ in their life to become a better person? You know, how do they use the Blessed Mother in their life? You know, what are the things they're doing to deepen their faith, which will help their formation and help them be better people? So all of the schools are dedicated, whether everyone thinks we are or not, all of the schools are dedicated to the young men and women that come into the school, of using athletics to form them into being better people and to being good citizens, and not just the country, but being world citizens.
Yeah, you're right. The league is unique in that way that, you're right, it's all Catholic schools except for one. It's all Orange County schools except for one. But you're right, the one common thread is the faith-based curriculum. I think that's maybe what ties maybe the entire league together and makes it more unique in that way, is that you can use Christ as the center of what you do in all the schools, and it's not so easy to do that, obviously, in the public school setting.
Right. Well, I think, and I was in the public school setting for a long time, and I love the public schools. I was at Anaheim High School, Western High School. I went to Catella High School. My mom was a public school teacher. I love the public school system. But one thing the public school is missing right now is that ability to celebrate Christ. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a public school, I describe it this way, as that you go to the school, and it's like having a birthday party, but you can't celebrate the person's birthday. So they have Christ, and Christ is just as present there as anywhere else, because we know he's everywhere, and God is everywhere. However, you can't celebrate it. You can't talk about it. Yeah. So then you come back over to our schools, and you can celebrate it. You can talk about it. And I think that's the one thing that makes us different. And I think that's one of the things as to why people are attracted to coming to our schools. They look at all these different schools to go to, and they're attracted to coming to our schools because they know that we have that faith-based peace that other schools are missing, and that we all have a common direction that we're moving in. We have a common value system, which for us is based on the truth and based on what Christ taught us, mm-hmm. and what God has inspired the Bible and the teachings in the Bible.
Absolutely. Michael Brennan, our guest, he is the principal at Servite High School and also the president of the Trinity League. Are there other unique things within the league that make, I don't want to say difficulties, but challenges maybe? We talk about the high profile, obviously the attention, you know, that comes in from the outside, not from the inside, but all the outside sources that that want to know more about the member schools and all that attention that comes with it.
I think one of the pressures that we all feel is that we're representatives of Christ. And wherever we go, people have a higher expectation that we're going to be doing things at the highest level. Mm-hmm. So if we make a mistake, well, you know, you're just not a Catholic school, you know. Where's the Christianity of that school? Or, boy, you guys are really Christ-like. So if we do something either wrong or right, sometimes we have to hear that, where other schools don't have to hear that. Yeah. So not only are we held to a higher level for how our kids compete and how hard they work, but our kids are held to a higher level on what's their behavior on and off the field. You know, a kid at Servite High School makes a mistake, you know, on or off the field. It's oh, they're not teaching that kid. Oh, great formation. Oh, what are they doing? People get very cynical very fast, and they forget that at the end of the day, these are 14 to usually 18, sometimes 19-year-old kids that are learning about life, that are trying to determine who they are, that are playing high-profile sports, some of them being heavily recruited, some of them really taking a lot of academic courses that are high level so they can get into the schools that are recruiting them. There's a lot of stress on these kids. And sometimes I think people forget the amount of stress on our kids. So not only do we have to develop our programs, we also have to be there to be a real supportive role for our kids in helping them navigate through the recruiting process, through the stresses of being in the Trinity League. For our kids in football, it's 5 straight weeks of CIF playoffs, mm-hmm. of national level teams. It's not easy, right? After that ends, now you got to keep your team going. And a lot of times teams are tired. So you'll see Trinity League teams that they do really well in the Trinity League and they get through the gauntlet of the Trinity League. And then they get to the first or second round of the playoffs and they lose the game. Right. And the reason they lose is because the kids are just worn out and tired because the competition has been at such a high level.
obviously kids choose to come to a Trinity League school. You know, a boy chooses to come to Servite, a girl chooses to go to Rosary, or somebody chooses to go to Modern Day or JCERA. That's a choice you make, and it's a tuition-based setup. One thing I always talk to coaches about is, you know, having the right fit, right? Somebody being the right fit for a school, the right fit for a program, and not everybody necessarily is. But once you get kids into a program, into a school like this, it seems like they always come out for the for the better for it. One of the things about a Catholic-based and a faith-based education system that give the kids maybe that leg up?
I think what it provides the kids is the ability to have a different maturity level. The faith, and being the Catholic faith or the Lutheran faith, those are mature faiths. And there's a maturity level you have to practice those faiths. And so if you translate that maturity level into real life, I think our kids leave with a certain maturity level. Plus, all of our kids go to school with high expectations all the time. And they also go to school with a lot of accountability. All of our schools hold our kids highly accountable. And this is in a day and age where schools and different institutions aren't holding people accountable for the mistakes they make. Where we hold kids accountable for what they make, and we do it in a loving and kind way, and we try to give them the correct direction, just like with a compass, you need to move in this direction, and we provide them the support to do it. However, we're going to hold the kids accountable, and I think that's one thing that really makes us different than some of the other schools, you know, even within the public school system, is the fact that we're still holding our kids highly accountable, and we have an expectation, you know, like here at Servite High School, you're not just representing Servite. You're representing men and women that have represented this order since 1233. Within that order, you have priests that are they're saints. You have St. Philip Benizi. You have St. Peregrine, the patron saint of cancer. You have a variety of women and men that have dedicated their lives to this order. So these boys aren't just representing the Trinity League or Servite High School. They're representing something much larger. Mm-hmm. You go to Modern Day, you're representing something larger. You go to Bosco, you're representing the Salesian Order. You go to JCERA, they're representing. I mean, it's JCERA High School. They're representing that saint. Mm-hmm. You Orange Lutheran, Rosary. I mean, all of us are representing something much larger than ourselves.
Absolutely. Michael Brennan is our guest. He's the principal at Servite High School and also the president of the Trinity League. And, you know, obviously being in this league, you guys like me want to stick microphones in your face. And, lots more media that wants to come around this league, I think, than many other leagues. Last year we had the baseball media day that was a success. That dovetailed into the football media day this year. Was there a discussion that, hey, we need to have these kind of a days, or this is something that will help because of the media attention and maybe get each season off on a good foot?
Yeah, there was talk about us having football media, baseball media, and different media days. One of the big reasons is that you have your head coach. He's trying to prepare for the season. So let's say you're Bruce Rawlinson at Modern Day, who's a nationally known and well-respected coach. Mm-hmm. And he has all these great athletes on his team. Imagine the press that's coming by every day to talk to Bruce Rawlinson. So how is Coach Rawlinson going to get his team ready when he's over here talking to the press for hours each day? And so the same thing happens to each of our schools. And we have people coming in constantly. So we kind of put our heads together and thought, you know, maybe we should have a media day. This way the press is all together. They can talk to all the coaches all in one day. And then that kind of alleviates the press from having to go to six or seven different schools. But at the same time, it alleviates our coaching staff of having meetings every single day. We can get everything taken care of in 1 8- to 10-hour period of time. And then everyone can go on their way. Coaches can get back to coaching because that's what they like to do. And the media can get back to doing all the things that they need to do. So it was something we talked about, something that we all agree upon. And at the same time, when you look at Division I schools and different things, you know, we're also looking to promote some of our athletes. So everyone brings athletes there. I mean, you couldn't find any finer group of young men at the football media day. I mean, they were just all terrific and they're all excelling. And
they were.
You listen to them speak. And I think everyone walked away very impressed on what the young men said, how they handled themselves, as well as I think our coaches. I think our coaches all did a really nice job on that day. So I was very proud of everybody. I thought it was a great day, and we look forward to doing it again, and we look forward to working with the press and the media, and not just promoting our league, but promoting our kids, but also, you know, working with the press to see what we can always do better too, because they're kind of like the watchdog, and so we always want to make sure that we're doing things at the highest level, and we want to make sure that we always look towards the future and that we do things the best we can do and the best way of not just representing our schools, but representing Christ, because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, it was a fun day, and there were some frank conversations and some good, but I think in the end, right, it was promoting the six schools that obviously involved in football, Rosary not being the one of the Trinity that's obviously not. But and it kind of leads me into my next point, which is we know football garners a lot of the attention at all the schools. But there's so many other great, I know we can sit here at Servine and talk about the great soccer program here, the great wrestling program, obviously, that your athletic director, Alan Clinton, leads. And we could talk about at every school. I mean, the nationally ranked soccer program at J. Sarah, the girls soccer program there, and on and on. Are there unique things because football is such a high profile that kind of that's it's sort of the tail wagging the dog in a sort of way? Or is there a thought within to say, hey, you know, we don't want that to kind of, you know, rule over everything?
Yeah, I think with football, what everyone has to realize is football culturally in this country is the sport that people seem to enjoy watching. When you watch college football and you have 100,000 people, you know, at an Ohio State football game or Michigan State, and you see how the sport of football helps build the larger community. So when you go to a Trinity League football game, you see the larger community there tailgating, enjoying being together, celebrating what the schools are doing, going in and cheering on the team. So football just isn't about the winning and the losing. A lot of it is about how you build the wider community at your school. And because the wider community enjoys football, football tends to garnish and get the most attention, so to speak. But with football, I think we also have to be aware that football is a sport that currently is declining. Right. If you look in probably the past 20 or 30 years, this is probably the lowest amount of kids that have ever played football. So now there's other sports that are booming because parents are afraid to let their kids play football, such as lacrosse is getting big, rugby is getting big. And there's other sports that are growing because of the fear of kids being injured, or, you know, the movie that came out where kids, or NFL players had brain
CTE.
And all that. So you see a sport that's in a little bit of decline. So I think everybody's kind of looking towards the NFL as to, how is the NFL going to address a sport that's kind of in decline? Because they rely on the youth sports to develop into the high school, develop into the college, to develop their own. We're the minor league system, so to speak, for the NFL. And we're the system that develops into, Division I football, you know, the large Pac-12 schools and everything, you know, in our area. So how are they going to address this decline in football? Because we all know that it's occurring.
Yeah. We talk about the seven member schools here, and you're part of the releaguing committee as well. Yeah. We've seen lots of schools kind of move around. There has been releaguing. We really haven't seen much change in the Trinity lately, and I think it's because nobody kind of wants to become a part of that. It's getting harder for schools in the Trinity to find opponents to play sometimes, quite frankly. Nobody wants to go against, you know, the David and Goliath, type of thing. Are we getting to the point where we see maybe a chance to see other schools maybe come into the Trinity League? Will we see maybe some changes on the horizon? Has there at least been some talk of it?
Yeah, no. The short answer to that one is no. As you know, I'm the chairperson for the Orange County Placement and Releaguing, and I kiddingly tell everyone that the reason that they picked me to do it is because we don't have a dog in this race. Everyone knows that Servite High School and the Trinity League schools are going to remain there. Yeah. And when we kiddingly ask other people to join us, there's really no takers. Although I'll tell you, there's some really good public schools and some other private schools out there that could compete with us. You know, the Mission Viejos of the world, I mean, they do a great job. Centennial, you know, Corona does a great job. Your Long Beach Polys. Yeah. I mean, there's some great programs out there from the public school system and some really good, hardworking public school coaches. I think one of the things that's different, though, between the public and the private that people fail to look at is that in private education, and specifically for our schools, sports and athletics is still a very important component to our schools. where in some school districts, depending on who the leader of the school district is, sports and athletics aren't as important as what maybe they used to be. So if you're a parent and you're looking for a school and you live in this school district and they don't have quite the coaching or quite the importance,
yeah,
or they're not making it a priority, well, what school are you going to want to go to?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to want to go to a school where, sure, it's a priority. Now, by the way, it has top-notch academics. And by the way, they're forming young men and women and leading them towards Christ. And they have a value system that I believe in. And so when you put all that together, there you go. However, with all of that and our success, it doesn't mean that other people want to join our league.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It kind of brings up that public versus private on the athletic fields. A lot of people want to see a separation when it comes to the postseason. There have been some tweaking done. Mm-hmm. We know within football, especially, do you ever foresee a time when the privates will be completely separate, a playoff system from the publics?
Yeah, you know, currently I don't.
Yeah.
A few years ago, Rob Wygod, commissioner of CIF, he had a task force do some research to determine who's winning the most. And what he determined is that the private schools aren't winning any more or less than the public schools, that it's all about the same. And that there's a misnomer, so to speak, to think that only the private schools are dominating. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, at certain levels, maybe it is, and in certain sports. However, if you look across the gamut of all CIF sports, it's not true. If you look at, you know, we're looking at, you know, people talk about football. We're in the fall right now. I mean, Mission Viejo has a great football,
yeah,
team. We went down there, and they beat us in CIF. And if we played them again this year, yeah, I'm hoping that we could pull off a victory, and I think maybe we could, but I don't know. Bob Johnston, I know he's not the head coach anymore, but he set up a really great program, mm-hmm, and some great head coaches and assistant coaches came in. They're tough. Centennial Corona, they're tough. Mm-hmm. Long Beach Poly, they're tough. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of great public schools out there, and you know, I came from the public school system, and if a public school is willing to put the same amount of time and effort into their sports programs as what the Trinity League schools do, I think they have every opportunity to build a program and attract good players and good athletes, good academic students, and really good people to their schools as well. I mean, like the movie says, Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Well, if you build it, they will come. If you build a great band program, people want to come to your band,
yeah,
program. You have a great choir program, they want to come to your choir program. If you're a good public school and you have good, strong academics, and by the way, you have this football coach, people will want to come for that football,
mm-hmm,
coach. They'll all transfer in for that coach. And by the way, you don't have to pay. And the school doesn't have to find a way to pay because the state of California pays for it. Versus here, we have to find a way to pay the bills. We don't,
sure,
have that support. So when a student comes in, we still have to pay tuition, provide financial aid. And we have a lot of, and I know a lot of people don't think this because everyone thinks that these athletes are going for free. We have a lot of athletes' families that are working one and two jobs to send their kids to Servite High School in a variety of schools. So the sacrifice that the parent makes is something to be greatly respected.
Last couple of moments here with Michael Brennan, the principal at Servite High School and the president of the Trinity League as well. And I think one thing you find, I think at all the member schools, I can especially, you know, think of it here at Servite as well, is the leadership in place continues to be here. I think kids see that. They don't see the shifting around, and it was a big deal when Troy Thomas came back to take the football position again, but somebody who had obviously been familiar, mm-hmm, with Servite, and a name here, somebody who could easily kind of come back in, but a lot of the coaches here have been here a long, mm-hmm, time, and we see that, you know, the leadership with Alan Clinton, you know, mm-hmm, been at Servite for a very long time. So I think stability is a big part in what, mm-hmm, kids look at that, and they say, hey, I know that that guy's going to be there, or that coach, mm-hmm, that girl, that lady is going to be there when I go to play there. That's going to be that same coach for all the 4 years I get there. I think that means a lot to kids.
I think it does. And, you know, if you look at Servite High School and you look at other Trinity League schools, the one thing that we try to do is find a top-notch head coach. A head coach that not only knows the subject matter of his sport and can teach his sport as a teacher, sometimes more as a teacher than what you would call as a coach, an educator. But you're also looking for a coach and a person that is going to help that young boy, that young girl grow up into being a young man and a young woman, someone who's well-rounded, So you're not just looking at who this is as an athlete. You're looking at who they are as a human being and as a person. So if you find those head coaches, you do your best you can to hire them and bring them in. And then those head coaches attract good assistant coaches. Yeah. And then when they bring their assistant coaches in, you work really hard, if you can, to see if you can have them on campus working. So you look at Servite High School. Obviously, I know that the best compared to other schools. Right. Our librarian is a basketball coach, and he does a great job in the library. Our campus security is a football coach. We have a variety of teachers who are our volleyball coaches, water polo coaches. Our chemistry teacher that we just brought in is a water polo coach. Mm-hmm. So you look around and you try to find good people, but what else are they going to do for the school? And if the more on-campus people you have running your programs, the better your programs are going to be, because the kids, one, have more people watching them, keeping an eye on them, making sure they stay on track, and then it just brings in more good people on your campus. And so I think that's one strength that we have within our schools versus what a public school principal may have the ability to do.
Mm-hmm. And we want to thank you for joining us. That's Michael Brennan, the principal at Servite High School and also the president of the Trinity League. If you want to reach us social media, you can catch us at CatholicSV. And, of course, CatholicSportsView@gmail.com is our email address. I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio, exploring where athletics meets faith. Spread the word about our broadcast, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this same time on Relevant Radio.